If you enjoy our podcast, please consider supporting Glass Tire. All of the money we raise, since we are a nonprofit, goes right back into our coverage of Texas's art and artists. Our coverage is supported thanks to readers and listeners like you. If you would like to contribute, you can do so at glasstire.com/donate. Thanks so much and enjoy today's show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Art Dirt. This is a podcast where we at Glass Tire talk about topical art topics. My name is Leslie Moody Castro. I am guest editor with Glass Tire, and I'm here today with Jessica. Jessica, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jessica Fuentes. I'm the news editor for Glass Tire.
Okay, so we have a lot of things that have happened in our Texas art world. Lots of changes, lots of spaces opening, some spaces closing, some residencies changing, shifting gears. So, Jessica, what is this first one? I don't know much about this museum that you have listed at the top of our list.
Well, yeah, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Brandon and Gabe did an Art Dirt where they were talking about spaces in Houston that have closed recently, including the Art Car Museum and the Station Museum. And one of the things that came right on the heels of those closures was also this announcement from James Searles and his partner Charmaine Locke that they have gifted 20 acres of their property and more than 100 works of art to develop a new museum that they're calling the Searles Locke Museum.
That's a lot of acres and a lot of works. How is this being funded?
Well, I think that they are working on funding. They seem like they're still in the early stages of development. Their announcement was mostly talking about the fact that they are working towards getting their nonprofit status and they have established their board. I think there's still a long ways to go. But if you saw the Gift from the Bowery exhibition, this is part of the land that they have donated.
Yeah, so they don't have their nonprofit status yet. They don't have any funding yet, but they have the objects and they have the land.
Right.
It's a good start.
I think so. I mean, I would assume that they have some amount of funding, maybe personal funding, but I'm sure that they are working on developing larger
infrastructure.
Yeah, developing larger infrastructure to be able to bring this idea to life.
And do we know, like, this is going to be an actual, like, institutional museum? This is not some sort of, like, experimental, like, outdoor sculpture park thing with, you know, 100 sculptures that can be outdoors for a minute or whatever. Like, this is an actual, like, institution that will be part of our, like, Texas museum legacy.
Yeah, you know, actually the announcement did not specify about a building and those types of things. I think because they're still so much in the early stages of development. But I imagine that based on the works of art that they talked about gifting, which include both sculptures and prints and drawings and things, that there will be a physical space, an institution, and that this will be a great new addition to the Houston area art scene.
Cool. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next on the list, Rothko Chapel undergoes phase 2 of development plan.
So the Rothko Chapel, which was founded by the DeMonnils.
It was funded by the DeMonnils and commissioned by the DeMonnils, which is a fun fact that we all just found out thanks to Brandon and his knowledge of these things. But it is not technically part of the DeMonnils. Like, the Rothko is its own nonprofit, its own organization, and does its own programming and is now undergoing phase 2 of a development plan.
Yeah, so this multi-year kind of restoration and expansion plan was first kind of launched in 2016. So it has been a long time coming. And the first phase of the project was completed in 2021. And so now they're moving forward with creating new buildings for educational programming, as well as an administrative and archives building. And I think, you know, one of the things that I don't know a whole lot about because I'm not based in Houston and I haven't spent much time with the Rothko Chapel, but many people think of the chapel itself as this artistic destination. But beyond that, the chapel does a lot of programming that is related to social justice initiatives. So having a new space for educational programming will be a huge step forward for the organization.
Yeah, that is a really good decision and a really good move. We all love the Rothko. Everyone loves the Rothko.
It's beautiful.
So two big things happening in Houston and then outside of Houston, like there has been a lot happening in the state. It was really funny when we were like putting this list of things together. I was like, it's not really that much stuff. And Jessica's like, I got a lot of tabs open. There's a lot of things that have happened in the past like month and a half. I blame the eclipse. So moving on to San Antonio, there is a new gallery event space opened by the San Antonio Chamber Ensemble called, Jessica, how do we say this?
I think it's Agarita.
Agarita Lofts in San Antonio.
Right. So this space was developed by this chamber ensemble that does innovative programming and does a lot of stuff in collaboration and partnership with other organizations throughout the city. And they're still going to continue to do these types of partnerships. But developing this space is an opportunity for them to have offices and event space, and then also a space that can be used for gallery installations as well.
That's great. And then there is a new artist-in-residence program called Centerpoint Art, and I actually haven't heard about this one at all, so this is exciting because I think artist residency programs obviously are very important, but San Antonio is so good at doing residency programs. To see another one in the ecosystem, I think, is really exciting.
Yeah, so this is actually a very small town just northwest of San Antonio, which is maybe why you haven't heard of it yet, called
Yet. Yet.
Yet. Called Center Point, Texas. This is the town. Hence Center Point Art. This space was actually opened last year, and it's spearheaded by Sarah Story, who's a designer and art patron. She's a supporter and former board member of Ballroom Marfa. And so she had this opportunity to create an artist residence space, as well as a gallery in Center Point, which is where she grew up. Her father had a ranch nearby, and so she spent time in this area as a child. And she, you know, was inspired to create this space where artists could come and get away and have opportunities to focus on their work and then have a place to show as well.
That's awesome. Is there any information on like the structure? Like, is there an open call application program, or do they just invite artists? Is there an amount of residency time that's preferred? Like, do we know any of those details yet?
So they've actually had two residents so far, and they have both been on an invitation basis. I think that because the organization is new and young, maybe they're still kind of figuring out some of these things about how they reach out to artists. So I'm not sure if they're going to continue on this invitation-only path or if at some point they might kind of open up to an application process.
Are artists expected to do an exhibition or some sort of like public programming thing?
Yeah, I think an exhibition is definitely like the culmination of the residency. So they have, I believe it's 5 to 6 weeks to be there.
That's a good amount of time, yeah.
Right, and they receive a stipend. And then at the end of their residency, they have this exhibition.
Nice. And then moving away from San Antonio just a little bit, in Arlington Museum has moved to a new building.
Yeah, so the Arlington Museum has been around for a while. The roots of the museum date back to 1952. But since it's had a physical space, it has been kind of in a smaller former JCPenney building on Main Street in the downtown area of Arlington. But just recently, within the last month or so, they have moved into a new space that is much larger. They'll have about 40,000 square feet, whereas before they had 5,500.
Oh, that's a big upgrade. Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge upgrade. And the new space will have kind of like a traditional gallery. But beyond that, they'll also have immersive galleries that they can use for installations. And then a black box theater that seats up to 300 people. And they're also...
That's a lot of people.
I know. They're also earmarking part of that space as a community gallery, and that'll be about 5,000 square feet of the space.
That's a lot of space. It's a really big upgrade.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's super exciting. I'm excited to stop by and check it out sometime soon.
Yeah, same. I haven't been to Arlington in years. It would be a very good excuse for a visit. And now... The big statewide topics, leadership, curatorial changes, and basically like overall staff changes at a lot of institutions around the state. There is a lot of change happening. And it's going to be really interesting to see how all of this sort of shakes out in the next year or two. So first is kind of a big blow for our Houston friends. Stephen Maticio has left the Blaffer to pursue another career opportunity at the Knoxville Museum. And Linda Shearer is stepping in as interim director. We all love Linda. Linda is a wonderful interim, and she has interimed so many spaces in Houston.
I was going to say, her name sounds super familiar, and I think that she's one of those people who oftentimes steps in to support organizations during times of transitions. Yeah,
it's true. We can all trust Linda to make good decisions in transition. But this is a big one. We're really going to miss Stephen. He really connected with the community of the Blaffer, and he did really good work. So it's going to be a big change to see him go, and we'll see who comes in after and how the ship continues to move.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daniel Kurt Ackerman is a new director of Bayou Bend Collection at the MFAH. I don't actually know much about this.
So the Bayou Bend Collection and Garden is a satellite space that the MFAH operates. And so Bonnie Campbell, who was the former director and had been there for a long time, she retired last fall. So the space has been, you know, kind of without leadership for maybe about 6 months or so, and kind of going through the process of hiring somebody to take over the reins.
And then another really big shakeup, the CORE residency program. The organization is hiring a new dean of the program, and big news, the application process will be suspended for 1 year until 2025 at some point in 2025.
Right. So yeah, it sounded like, you know, the application process for this upcoming term, 2024-2025, had already been underway when the decision to suspend the process came about. And that had to do, I think, with some leadership changes, because Mary LeClaire, who had been there as the associate director of the program for maybe she wasn't in that position for a decade, but she had been working with the CORE residency program for about a decade. She recently departed the institution, and with her departure, they've kind of restructured. So she was serving as associate director, but the residency is going to be hiring a dean of the program, which is a new position.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a really big change. And I know I've told some people about it. The CORE is really respected both in Houston and outside of Houston and internationally. And I told someone about it really recently, and she was shocked. And it was like a part of our art pulse was like dying or something. It's going to be okay. It always is. But I think that this is something that has been really surprising for people, because the CORE is such it has such an institutional foundation, I think. So interesting to see how that shakes out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Back to San Antonio. So
the San Antonio Museum of Art has a few changes underway. Emily Sano, who was the senior advisor for Asian art there, recently retired. And also Christopher Dreggers has recently been hired on as the associate curator of Latin American art, a position which has been vacant.
It's been vacant a really long time.
Has been vacant since last year. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was longer than that. Okay.
No, I think that there had been, you know, a few different vacancies at the museum over the last couple of years and some shifts and things, but that particular position has only been vacant since last year.
Got it. Okay. And another one, Daisy Nam. This is kind of surprising to me, but Daisy Nam leaves Ballroom Marfa and has taken a position in California somewhere. I was really surprised by this one because Daisy seemed really, really committed to staying in Ballroom. But, you know, we all get better offers at other places sometimes. So I know that Ballroom Marfa has a really great core group of people and always brings in really good names. So we'll see what happens there. Marfa's a hard place to live permanently.
Yeah, I imagine so. And I thought this was interesting as well because, you know, Daisy isn't the first Texan to make that exit for California. Over the last year, we also saw Veronica Roberts leave the Blanton, and Dr. Lauren Cross left her position at UNT, and they both went to California for roles there.
Yeah, and Daisy's originally from California as well as Veronica, so it does make a little bit of sense to want to, like, go back home, I guess. It just is a surprising one because I was able to meet with Daisy when she first came into the position, and it was really exciting, and it was really exciting to see, you know, what her thoughts were and or learn what her thoughts were and how she could lead the organization. But yeah, there's always change afoot.
And then here in Fort Worth, we also have some changes. Marla Owens, who is the longtime director of the Modern Art Museum of Fort Worth, recently announced that she will be retiring soon. The museum has launched a search for a new director, and Marla will stay on until that new person is in place and to help with some of that transition. But she has been at the head of that organization for a few decades now, and it's hard to imagine somebody new coming in and what kinds of changes might come about with that.
I also just can't even imagine what it's like to be in the same position for a few decades.
Yeah, you know, I think especially as we see, as we're talking about all of these leadership changes, it's really not a thing that happens a whole lot now, right? People don't always have opportunities to start somewhere and move up. And also I think there's just like such a culture of wanting to experience different spaces, which is great because you grow and learn and see different things and meet different people. But yeah, I imagine that being in a position like Marla, where you're at a singular place for a long time, is also incredibly rewarding. You get to see that institution change. She was there, you know, when the museum was in its former home, which is now the Fort Worth Community Arts Center. And she kind of oversaw that building change and the development of the new building that it's in. I say new. It's been there for 20 years now.
New-ish. I think you should lead into the next one, too, since you know that one so well.
Yeah. So also in Fort Worth, we've seen the Amon Carter Museum has appointed Maria Beatriz Carrion as their assistant curator of photographs. So this is an interesting position because her appointment follows departures last year by Kristen Gaylord, who was the associate curator of photographs, and John Rohrbach, who was the senior curator of photographs. So curious to see how the museum will continue to build that photography department, knowing that photography is something that the Carter is well known for. It's just a huge part of their collection.
Yeah, that is a really big part of their collection. And we have a little bit of news from Austin, too. So Max Fields is leaving PhotoFest and is now the new director of the Visual Arts Center at UT Austin, which is great. We all loved Mackenzie. We were sad to see her go as well. But there has been so much transition and changes within the university department that it's really going to be nice to see Max take on full agency of the VAC in ways that were not offered to previous directors. I'm excited to meet Max, and I'm excited to see what Max is going to do there for the future, because there's a lot of things happening within the department that are changing. And then we have kind of a big one is that executive director and founder of Big Medium Austin is leaving his position at Big Medium.
I think anytime that a founder or co-founder steps down from an organization, you know, it signals massive changes coming, right? So I think Shay said it really well when I asked him about why he was leaving the organization at this time. And he said, quote, founders can either hold on forever and possibly the organization ends when they finally give up, or they can see that the organization can grow and prosper beyond the founder, end quote. And I think that is such an important mindset to have, because as we have seen with some of the organizations closing in Houston, Shay is exactly right. Sometimes if there's not that kind of succession plan, then beyond the founder, the organization doesn't have a life. And so it seems like he's thinking about the long-term plans for Big Medium and how it can continue without him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this one's going to be really interesting to see how it shuffles out, because this is a big public facing year for Big Medium. The Texas Biennial is happening. It was announced only a few months ago. And one of the three curators that will be part of the Texas Biennial is one of the currently managing director, I guess. There was also a shuffle in title and in staffing titles. Mm-hmm. And so I guess it's a managing director. Coca Trevino is also one of the curators of the biennial. And so how that leadership role changes and how they kind of work through this transition will be pretty interesting to watch. And yeah, it's just is a really big change. Shay has been at the helm of this organization for a really long time and was responsible for this big event called originally the East Austin Studio Tour, which also then brought in the West Austin Studio Tour, and now is just the Austin Studio Tour and is citywide. And it's massive, and it's something that we all program around every year. So it's just, there's a lot of changes. There's a lot of changes.
Yeah, and just one point of clarification. Coca's new job title is curator and artistic director. It sounds like she has moved into a leadership position that is slightly different from the position that Shay had before, which was executive director, and that the person that they are looking to hire on will be the managing director, who will oversee more of the kind of business operations of the organization.
Got it. That's really good clarification. It's those are really long titles.
You know, nonprofits love their long titles.
They really do. Yeah, they really do. They're very long titles, and I think that they're also kind of opaque. And so that'll be another interesting thing to see how that kind of works out.
Mm-hmm.
So, lots of changes.
What about broader, big picture things that you see coming in Texas, or that you see Texas needs? Like, what are some of the, you know, holes in the art world or different art scenes in Texas that maybe need to be filled as things are shifting?
I think that there's, like, we've talked about this a lot and since the pandemic in particular, but there's also this sort of de-emphasization of cities versus like rural non-urban areas. And I think that watching if those sort of non-urban centers continue to grow and to continue to kind of build their own art spaces into perpetuity and see if they like continue to last, or if the strength of cities will eventually absorb that sort of creative group of people into what already exists in our institutions. I think that like that transition or how that changes in the future will be interesting to watch as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that, you know, with the pandemic, with the idea that people can, you know, work from home, work remotely, work in different ways, there is that kind of renewed interest in staying put and maybe not needing to go to, you know, like, quote unquote, the big city to do a thing or to make an art scene happen. And that there might actually be more opportunities in these smaller spaces because there's maybe less restrictions, because there's more space. I think it'll be interesting to see like how those places continue to build and develop and come into their own and how they find ways to sustain themselves, because that is often the issue in the arts, is creating a sustainable space.
What do you see in your area in North Texas that you think, like, that you're interested in, that whatever the transition is happening right now? I mean, I live and work in Austin and Mexico City, and they're two radically different places. And Austin has always been a very grassroots kind of do-it-yourself. We don't have very many institutions. Like, it's a very self-motivated kind of place, which is really different from Dallas and Fort Worth. So what do you see in your area?
Yeah, I think I can speak more to Fort Worth more comfortably. And what I'll say is, you know, Fort Worth has historically, just like as a city, had a lot of private funding for the arts. But that private funding comes through private foundations and goes to very specific institutions. So, for example, the Amon Carter Museum is funded mostly by the Amon Carter Foundation, right? And so I think because of this, we are blessed to have great museums that work in partnership with each other. But also, I think the city has not felt the drive to put as much funding behind the arts itself because we have had so much private funding. So recently, like, I gave a presentation to some Fort Worth leaders about funding for the arts, and I pulled some data about different cities across Texas and their budgets for the arts. And it was eye-opening for me and for our leaders to see that, you know, like, Austin's city budget for arts and culture is like $15 million. San Antonio's was like $11 million. Dallas was almost $8 million.
I am very surprised that Austin is at the top of that list.
And Fort Worth was like just a little over 1 million.
I want to know where this money is going in Austin.
Well, that's something that we could dig into a little bit more in the future. But yeah, I think that Fort Worth is really in need of funding for the arts, and beyond funding our established organizations, funding available for young emerging organizations, and funding directly to artists, because that's something that many cities across Texas have that Fort Worth doesn't have, which is individual unrestricted grants to artists.
Yeah, and there aren't, I mean, those grants don't have to be millions and millions of dollars. I mean, $1,000, $1,500 for an artist goes a really long way to produce a project or understand the limitations mm-hmm. of a project, right? And yeah, I mean, that also helps to build an ecosystem or a stronger ecosystem.
Yeah, I think one of the things I've, from a distance, have been excited to see in Central Texas is both in Austin and San Marcos, seeing like studio spaces pop up, like affordable studio spaces for artists. And that is also something that I feel like is a struggle here in Fort Worth. There's very few of those kinds of spaces. And I think there are a few organizations that are working on that and wanting to fill, kind of fill that need, but it's harder than one might think because space is expensive.
It is. Space is very expensive. And I mean, we're going to have some major changes happening soon. There's a lot of shuffling with Good Dad Studios in Austin is going through a lot of institutional change. And I don't anticipate that that will last much longer. We'll see. And part of that is because the cost of space.
That's really unfortunate to hear. I was super excited about that space.
We all were. But the cost of being in Austin and having a space like that is really difficult to maintain.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah. Well, anything else?
I think we did it.
Okay, we'll wrap this up. All right. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's Art Dirt. And all of the sort of news things that are happening around our entire state. We will be back in 2 weeks with another Art Dirt. And we recommend you take a look at our statewide exhibitions and events listings. And if you're able to, go see some art.
Go see some art.
This podcast was recorded by Glass Tire. Copyright Glass Tire 2024.